seeking first the kingdom of God. We've looked at our faith, about Abraham had great faith. We've looked at our families, and we all have been told that nobody has a perfect family, but we have a perfect God who will help us, whether it's between husband and wife or between parent and child. And so we're not here trying to, Don and I are not setting ourselves up as perfect parents or a perfect couple. We're struggling just like the rest of you, but aren't you grateful to God that Jesus helps us even as we're trying our best to be what we're supposed to be? Now, today we're going to not just talk about seeking God in our faith and in our families. We're going to talk about seeking God in our finances. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church. Let me be clear about what he is talking about and what he's not talking about before I read it. This is not a section on tithing, although Paul concurs with tithing to your local church. This is about an offering, a free will offering that was being taken by Paul from the Gentile churches to be given to the Christians in Jerusalem that for whatever reason were going through a severe poverty time, all right? So just understand that what he's saying here is about basically giving in general, but specifically he is talking about giving to a free will offering. Just have that in mind. And he says here in verse 6, chapter 9, 2 Corinthians on page 1176. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his what? In his what? In his heart. Not grudgingly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able. Let's say those three words together. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency. Look at all the superlatives here, all the alls, all the everys. Always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower, that's what you are. You're a sower. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply. How about that now? Not just add, but multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality. Not to hoard, but to give, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. All right. I'm about to show you a miracle. I'm going to show you how fast I can preach when I have to. Number one, if you want to seek first the kingdom of God in your finances, give bountifully. Everybody say bountifully. Now this I say, verse 6, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. You know, in the Bible, in Matthew 13, sowing seed is referred to as an illustration of preaching and sharing the gospel. But here, sowing seed is definitely talking, if you look contextually, about not sowing the gospel, but financial giving. No mistake about it. And some people say, well, the church should never talk about finances. Well, don't tell the Apostle Paul that, because he talked about it a lot, and Jesus did too. Paul stated something here that anybody that ever been around a farm could understand. How many of you ever at least been around a farm? Anybody out there? Okay, all right, you know that I have. And he's saying it's just simple. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow a lot, you reap a lot. Any farmer knows that. I mean, if you sow bountifully, you're justified to expect a large, bountiful harvest. Bountifully is the word eulogia or eulogia. It's the word for praise. It means to bring tribute to somebody. And here in 2 Corinthians, he's saying that you need to, when you give, it's a tribute. It's a blessing both to God and to man. You're giving eulogia. You're giving bountifully. God has abundantly given to you in his son Jesus, and you are to abundantly, bountifully give back to him in every way, even in your finances. The Lord will bless you, he says, in direct proportion to how you give. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25, there's one who scatters and yet increases all the more. There's one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. Isn't that something? You give and you increase, you withhold and you suffer want. The generous man will be prosperous. He who waters will himself be watered. Now that's the way God does it. It's not the way man does it. That's the way God does it. Proverbs 22, verse 9, he who is generous will be blessed. You don't have to be wealthy to be generous. You just have to be obedient. God's not asking you to give what you don't have, but you have something you can give. It might be money. It might be time. It might be a letter. It might be a phone call, but you've got something you can give. You've got some finances you can give. He who is generous will be blessed, for he, God, gives some of, for that person rather, gives some of his food to the poor. There's something about giving to people who need help. You know, if God had not given to us when we needed help, we'd all go to hell. If God hadn't given to us when we were spiritual paupers, we'd all go to eternal perdition. In the Old Testament, God said, here's what I want you to do. When you reap your fields, when you harvest your fields and you turn the reaping machine, you're going to leave the corner. Don't you go back and get that corner. And somewhere along the way, you're going to drop some sheaves. Don't you go back there and be selfish and pick up those sheaves. You just pick up what you're getting naturally. You leave those corners. You leave the droppings and the corners for the poor. Isn't that in your Bible? How many of you ever read that in your Bible? Anybody? Sure, it's in your Bible. Every paycheck you get, you ought to leave some for somebody less fortunate, less blessed than you, above your tithe and your offerings. Leave the corners. Leave some of those fallen sheaves. Don't spend every dime you make on yourself. By the way, the poor can give too. Jesus said in Mark 12, verse 41, the Bible says he sat down opposite the treasury, began observing how the people were putting their money into the treasury, and many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury, for they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. George Mueller said, God judges what we give by what we keep. For some people, giving bountifully is $100. For some people, it might be $10,000. That's not the issue. You've got to work it out with you and God. You need to give bountifully. Number two, if you want to see God, seek God's kingdom in your finances, don't just give bountifully, but give willingly. Look at verse 7. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. Now, lest you dare act like you don't know what grudgingly means. It's when somebody asks you to do something and you don't really want to do it, and you say, okay. When God asks you to give, don't say, okay. Now, how do you know God asks you to give? Any prompting to be generous is from the Lord. Because you're too selfish and I'm too selfish to do it. So I know it didn't come from me. I'm on the way to church this morning. There's a young man in the middle of the road selling newspapers. That is a dangerous place to be around Memphis drivers. Amen? So number one, I prayed for him. I said, Lord Jesus, please protect that young man. It was cold this morning. He had on a little sweatshirt hoodie. And clear as a bell, Lord told me, he said, give him some money. Don't take a paper, just give him some money and pray for him. He said, now how do you know that was the Lord? The devil didn't tell me to do that. And I'm too selfish to do that on my own. So I stopped. He was reaching for paper. I said, I don't want a paper. And then I think he thought he was about to be robbed. You know, I said, who's this big guy pulling up in this car? He's gonna be all right. I said, I want to give you something. I handed him some money. I said, do you know the Lord Jesus? He said, yes, sir, I do. I said, can I pray with you? He said, sure. And we held hands, and I prayed with him. Now, I'm not trying to brag on me. I'm just trying to say, you know, you can't tell me God didn't tell me to do that. And if you did tell me, I wouldn't believe you. I wouldn't believe you. I know that. I'm too selfish. I was in a hurry. I had things to do. But aren't you glad that God interrupts us? God says, give willingly, not grudgingly, but willingly. Paul was pointing out that God never coerces his children to obey. He said, here it is, obey, then you've got a choice. But be careful how you choose. You can choose, but you can't choose the consequences if you choose wrong. If you can't give to the Lord's work without feelings of reluctance, bitterness, and resentment, I'm telling you, God just says, look, then just keep it. If you can't give with joy for people to get saved, people to get delivered, missionaries to be supported, ministries throughout Memphis to help kids learn how to read, to help men come to a conference and take an 18-hour spiritual IV. If you can't give to that kind of stuff, if you can't get excited about these people who are getting saved and baptized and growing in grace and coming to our church, and not just that, but then going out as missionaries, planting church, if you can't get excited about that, if you have to give to that grudgingly, then keep your money. That's what God says. God says, do it willingly. Exodus 25:2 talks about, tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution to me. Every man whose heart moves him, raise my contribution. Exodus 35:5, take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it to the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, and bronze. Exodus 35:29, the Israelites, all the men and the women whose heart moved them to bring material for all the work which the Lord had commanded through Moses to be done, brought a free will offering to the Lord. God is not begging you. He is not a pauper. He owns the universe. He gives you a little bit, and when you die, you put it all back in the box. It all belongs to him, and all he's saying is either give willingly or don't give at all. Number three, can you believe I'm preaching this fast? Number three, we're halfway through. You say, yeah, but you ain't through. So, if you want to seek first the kingdom in your finances, give cheerfully. Cheerfully. Oh, I love verse 7, the end of it. For God loves a cheerful giver. Hilaros, where we get obviously our English word hilarious. Joyful, happy. Wouldn't it be something if it's offering time? Everybody goes, yes! It could happen if we really understood the Lord. I believe they shouted in heaven when Jesus gave himself on the cross. Greatest gift ever. We know they shouted when Jesus came as a baby. Maybe we ought to shout at the offering time. Not to brag on money, but to brag on God and say, God, just want you to know we're giving like you, and our hearts belong to you, not to money. Can't have it both ways, guys. Can't serve two masters. Can't have it both ways. Cheerful giving. 1 Chronicles 29. I love this. Moreover, in my delight, in the house of my God, the treasure I have of gold and silver, David said, I gave to the house of my God over and above all that I've already provided for the holy temple, namely 3,000 talents of gold, gold of Ophir, that's the best gold, 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the buildings of gold for the things of gold and of silver for the things of silver, that is, for all the work done by the craftsman. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? Then the people rejoiced because they had offered so willingly. There's that word. For they made their offering to the Lord with a whole heart. And King David also rejoiced greatly. Paul gives us some words of Jesus that we don't have anywhere in the Gospels. And it's about giving. How about that? He said in Acts 20 when he was talking to the elders of Ephesus. They were meeting in a little town called Miletus. I've been to Miletus. He said in Acts 20, verse 35, in everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said. Say it out loud with me. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Makarios, it's more blessed. That's how you start all the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed, 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 blessed. And blessed are you when you give. You're blessed. Makes you happy. Makes you cheerful. Gets you excited. Amen. That was a holy woo-hoo. All right, amen. I receive it in the name of Jesus. Oh, you want to seek first the kingdom of God in your life, then do it in your finances and give cheerfully. You need to give bountifully if you want a bountiful return. I've had people say, well, should I tithe on the gross or the net? Well, do you want gross or net blessings? Amen? Come on. I'm here all day. Bring it. Let's talk about it. Give bountifully and willingly and cheerfully. And then one more thing, give expectantly. Look at verse 8. God is able to make all grace, oh, I like this, abound to you. God's not a pauper. Did you know that? He owns the cattle on a thousand hill. He owns the hill. He owns the oil under the hill. Amen? He's God. So that always having all sufficiency in everything. Paul's just absolutely wearing himself out trying to tell you about all the alls. You may have an abundance for every good deed. That is, God's going to give you. When you give, God's going to give you more so you can give. I can never forget riding in a truck one day with my dad. He had just retired. He said, son, I had no high school education, but God gave me a job, and God has blessed me. Why has God been so good to me? And I'm a little 19-year-old, brand-new preacher boy. And all I knew to say is, God blessed you to be a blessing. And my dad said, that's right. God blessed me to be a blessing. You know why God has blessed you? Not just to bless you, but so that you can bless other folks. And when you do, you get the blessing. I'm telling you, this giving stuff's good. It's really good. It's a lot better than hoarding. Hanging on. Let it go. Let it go. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply. Everybody say multiply. He will multiply your seed for sowing. He will multiply your seed for sowing. You keep giving, he'll give you more. God's got a bigger shovel. You give it out a little bit, he'll give it in more. Listen, I'm 60 years old. Don't tell me he doesn't do that. I'm not 20 anymore. I've seen this happen for 40 plus years. When we got married, Donna made $900 a month. We thought we were rich. But we gave $90 to our little church. And we went out to eat one time, and we didn't do it the rest of the month. We paid all our bills, and you know what? We've tithed ever since. Don't tell me it doesn't work. Don't give me that. I've tithed when we had sick kids. We have tithed when we had all kinds of issues and everything else. But you know what? The tithe belongs to the Lord. He who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing, increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in everything, all these alls, and all liberality which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. You say, well, that's just one text. Well, let me give you a few more. Proverbs 19, verse 17. One who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed. I shared that one day. Dr. Rogers and I were eating. Does anybody remember Nikki's East over here? Don't act like you don't know where to eat. Y'all remember Nikki's East over here? All right. Nikki's what? No, that's Birmingham. Excuse me. What was it? What? Jim's Place East. Does anybody? I am so sorry. I didn't mean to get on to y'all. Forgive me. All right. Everybody said, what are you talking about, man? Jim's Place. By the way, if you ever go to Birmingham, that's a great place to eat. All right. I led one of the guys to the Lord in there, one of the owners, all right? It's on Finley Avenue. But anyway, over at Jim's Place, Dr. Rogers said, let me read the verse. I've already forgotten what I was talking about, all right? He said, one who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and God, and Dr. Rogers says, yes, and God pays good interest. Doesn't he? Sure he does. Malachi 3, 8 through 12. Will a man rob God? Yet are you are robbing me, but you say, how have I robbed you? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse. You're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe, not part, the whole, into the storehouse. That's your local church, I believe. So that there may be food in my house. Test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not, it's the only time God says test me, by the way. If I will not open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing until it overflows, then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast off its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. One more. I've got so many of these. It's unbelievable. But Luke 6:38, I don't see how you can go away from this. Give, and it shall be, say it with me, given to you. They will pour into your lap. Good measure, pressed down. Did you ever rake leaves? Anybody ever rake leaves? You put leaves in those big black bags. My dad was tight as the bark on a tree with money, all right? And so we would buy those bags, and he would say, you think that's full? That ain't even half full, boy. You get in there and you mash those leaves down some more. Don't you reach in there and get another bag out. I thought those bags must have cost $20 a piece. I didn't know what happened. All I knew is I was mashing all the time. Press down. Everybody say press down. Shaking together. Everybody say shaking together. Running over. That's what God wants for you. Press down. Shake. Well, let me say it. Press down. Shaking together. Running over. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Is that what he says? I can do this all day because that Bible's full of that. You don't get that on TV. You get that from the Bible. All right. In your bulletin, whatever we call that thing now, it's kind of like whatever happened to Sunday school, amen? We call everything now, who knows? But in that piece of paper you got out there, I call it a bulletin. There's a little bitty card right here. Everybody pull it out. This is between you and God. You're not going to pass these in. You don't have to sign anything. But I do want you to physically take a pen or a pencil, and I want you to etch in the little spots there that apply to you. Go back to your faith. Go seek first the kingdom of God in our faith. I will pray fervently, being fully assured that God will answer. If you're going to do that this year, check that. Look, you're keeping these. You're not turning these in. You'll put these in your Bibles or put them wherever you want to put them. If you say, I'm going to pray fervently, then check that. I will faithfully serve at Bellevue and out from Bellevue. I'm going to try to find a place to serve here, and then from here I'm going to serve the Lord. So if that's what you want to do, check that. I will see my life in faith, standing on the promises of God's Word. I'm not going to listen to what the devil says. I'm going to listen to what God says in His Word about my life, and I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to speak in faith about all aspects of my life. I'm going to refuse to doubt. I'm not going around complaining and griping and worrying and speaking that all the time. I'm going to say, my God will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. I'm just going to go around, speak the truth out of the Word of God. All right? Lastly, I will surrender everything dear to me to Jesus. Remember how Abraham offered up Isaac, had all the promises, and God gave him back and then some. So, you remember how I talked to you about how I gave God my children? You know, you may not remember that if you were here. I did that. All right, now turn it over very quickly. Seek first God in my family. I'm a husband. I will love, lead, study, honor, and be gentle to my wife. And all the wives said, amen. And then the wife, I will submit to, respect, and love my husband. Parent, I will encourage, teach, and train my children. You check these along the way as they apply to you. Children, I will obey. That's my actions. I will honor. That's my attitude. My parents, and then all of you, I will pray for the next three generations of my family. That's probably the most important check on the whole card right there. I'll pray for the next three generations of my family. If everybody in this room would do that, it would just be amazing what God would do. All right, and then finally, finances. I will give a tithe, 10% of my income. That is this year. I'll do that to the budget of Bellevue. And then above that, I'll give to the love offering. And then above that, I will give to the missions fund. And then I will give to others as the Holy Spirit leads or prompts me, especially to those who are poor. And by the way, when you do it in a way that you don't embarrass them. Do it in a way where they have some honor about themselves, okay? Amen?